Good morning. It's good to see you today. Well, I can't see you, but it's good to have you today. Hope that you are doing well. This morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Hebrews again. We're going to be looking in chapter 11. We're going to be reading as our text, verses 17 through 19, but we're going to be looking actually from 11 through 19 as we go down through these verses. But we're going to read, to get started, verses 17 through 19. In Hebrews chapter 11, so beginning in verse 17, the writer of Hebrews says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." As we continue here in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, which is called God's Hall of Heroes or the Faith Chapter or God's Roll Call of the Faithful, what you have in this chapter are biographical sketches of Old Testament personalities who are presented to us as great examples of what it means to live by faith in God. So I want to talk to you a little bit today about Abraham's trial of faith. If you're going to go through a great trial of faith in your life, that means that God has great confidence in you. One person said that God honors the size of the trials he allows us to experience because little furnaces are for little faith and big furnaces are for big faith. So he honors us by the size of the trials that he allows to come into our life. Now there's probably no life in all of history that so illustrates the truth of faith as does the life of Abraham, especially in this great time of trial that he's going to go through today as we look at those verses together. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 9, the Bible says that it calls Abraham faithful Abraham. Of course, that's the King James version of that, faithful Abraham. And I think that's a tremendous thing that can be said about a person is that they are faithful. God says that they are faithful. I hope that God can say the same thing about you and me, that we are faithful to him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he looked at you and said, "You are faithful"? That would be a tremendous thing for God to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards to be found faithful." We need to be faithful in everything that we do for God. We just need to be faithful serving the Lord Jesus. I think the greatest epitaph that could ever be assigned to our life is the words, "found faithful." And I hope that we are being found faithful today as we live our lives for Jesus. Well, the first thing I want you to see today is I want to talk a little bit about Abraham's thrill. Because you see, Abraham experienced a great thrill in his life. When he left the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, he left on the basis of the tremendous promise that God had made to him. God has said, your offspring will be so numerable that they will become a multitude of people, and the nations of the earth will be blessed through the greatness of your people. That was a tremendous promise that God gave to Abraham. Well, there was only one problem attached to that promise from God, and that is Abraham and his wife Sarah had no children. They were without a child. And when you look at the thrill which Abraham experienced in the birth of his son Isaac, you see basically two different activities. First of all, you see human frailty. Because in verse 11 it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. And that means that she was beyond the age that it was normal for a woman to give birth. And in fact, at this particular time, she was 90 years old. From a human perspective, there was absolutely no way that a child could be born to Abraham and Sarah. In fact, you may remember that when God gave the promise to Sarah, the scripture says she laughed at God. I mean, God says, you're going to have a baby. And she starts laughing because she knows that it's impossible for her to have that. I can almost hear her cackling out as God says, Sarah, you're going to have a child. And she starts laughing because she knows that's an impossibility. I mean, 90 years of age, and the promise is repeated that again and again and again that she's going to have this child, but she knows in her own mind anyway that it's humanly impossible. And of course, verse 12 says that Abraham was as good as dead. I mean, that means Abraham at that time was about 100 years old, and he too was beyond the normal ability to have a child. So you've got to see here that in their thinking, it was beyond human possibility. You saw their human frailty, and they said, there's no way this is going to happen. But they believed, Abraham believed. But on the other hand, you see divine ability. Because humanly speaking, it wasn't possible for them to have a child, but from God's perspective, he can do anything. With God, all things are possible. And Sarah was going to have a child. One day, there came from the tent of Abraham and Sarah the cry of a little baby boy whose name was Isaac. And I can just imagine Abraham, that 100-year-old man outside hopping and skipping and jumping, saying, glory to God, I've got a son. I've got a son, just like God has said. So, if God made you a promise, understand something. You can mark it down. He's going to do it. He's going to keep his promise to you just like he said he would. God will do the promises that he's told us in his word that we're going to receive. And we're going to receive those promises because God is faithful to his word. Verse 11 says, Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. You see, it's important. When you think about a promise, the important thing is not the promise itself. It's the one who is making the promise. A promise is only as good as the character of the person who makes that promise to you. Well, God said, you're going to have a child. And by faith, they trusted in the ability of God. They knew in their own minds that we can't do this, but yet God can. So you see, faith is able to bring the power of God down into our barren and our dead lives and give life. So faith sees the invisible, faith hears the inaudible, and it accomplishes the impossible. And that was Abraham's thrill. When verses 13 through 16, we see Abraham's testimony, because verse 13 says, these all died in faith. It's talking here not only about Abraham, but all of his offspring. He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down the line. But specifically, I'm thinking about Abraham's testimony, because in verse 13, you see, first of all, there was an apparent failure, because verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. In other words, God made promises to Abraham that had not been fulfilled at the time of his death. But God not only promised that to Abraham, he also promised it to his seed, to his children. And he said to them, I'm going to give you a land. This land is going to be yours. And God reiterated that promise to Isaac. I'm going to give you this land. He made that promise to Jacob. And right on down through Joseph and right on down to the Israelite people, God says, I'm giving you this land. This is your land. I'm giving it to you. But every one of these men of faith died, and the promise of the land had not been fulfilled. It seemed to be an apparent failure. But you see, when they went to their death, the Word of God tells us here that they went to their death in faith, still trusting God's word. They were still trusting God to provide what he had told them that he was going to provide. So right on down through every one of them, God says, I'm giving you this land. And they all believed, they all trusted, they all understood that they knew that it was happening. Because see, they went to their death in faith. They died still trusting God. Listen, it's not only important for us as believers to live by faith, but we also need to die in faith. We have to put our confidence in a land that we have never seen. We have a hope of heaven that I have never seen with these physical eyes, and you haven't either. But I've got news for you, folks. One of these days, we're going to see that land that has been promised to us, that home in heaven. And we die in faith. We die believing in the promises that God has given to us. So though there was kind of an apparent failure, there's also a very appealing future, because verse 13 says, they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They looked out there in the future, and they understood that there was a land there for them, and they were assured of them, and they embraced that in their life. I wonder today, are you embracing God's promises of the future this morning? Are you embracing that hope that we have that God has given to us as you are listening today? And then look at their testimony, and they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, a stranger is someone who is away from home. A pilgrim is someone who's headed home. He's on a journey home. And that's exactly, I think, the Word of God's description of God's children in this world. A Christian is not a citizen in this world trying to make it to heaven. A Christian is a citizen of heaven passing through this world, headed to home, headed to heaven. That's why we ought not get attached to this world, folks, because we're strangers, we're pilgrims, we're just passing through this land, and we're headed to a home that God has promised to us that we're going to obtain one of these days. Then in verse 14 it says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. The Living Bible says they're looking forward to their real home in heaven. So that was the testimony of these Old Testament saints. And verse 15 says, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now listen, one of the great themes of the book of Hebrews is that as believers, we're encouraged to keep moving forward, to keep moving on, to keep on keeping on. I think that was the phrase back in the day. So he's saying to us, let's go on. Let's always look to the future. Never turn around and look to your past. Always look ahead to the future. He's saying to Abraham, he's saying to all these other, the lineage of Abraham, he's saying if they wanted to, they could have turned around, they could have gone back to their original homeland where they came from, but God didn't want them to do that, and God kept encouraging them to look forward because their promise was out there. Now, if you're saved, you can never be unsaved. You're not going to be unsaved because salvation is an eternal thing. When you receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you are born into the family of God. And folks, when you are born into a family, you can't get unborn from that family. You're always a part of that family. But it's possible for a believer to turn back to this world and live a worldly Christian life. And this verse is basically saying, or asking the question, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to turn around and start living for the world that God has brought you out of? Why would you want to live for a world that has nothing but heartache and sorrow when God has given us so many blessings in our life? There are some of you today who may have been saved. Maybe you've only been saved a few years, or maybe you've been saved a long time. And when the going gets tough and the trials come in your life and you're trying to live for Jesus, and it just gets a little bit hard, can't you hear Satan coming and whispering in your ear and saying, why don't you just come back to me? Why don't you just come on back to me? See, that's what he wants us to do. And if you're not careful, you might want to go back. You might want to turn around and say, this life of living for Jesus is just not worth it. I'm not successful. I'm not doing well. Listen, folks, that's just a lie of Satan that he's feeding to you to try to get you to turn your back and from living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what it used to be like back there before God saved you? Do you remember that? Do you want to turn back to the sin and the shame and the guilt and the sorrow? Do you really want to go back there? I don't. I heard about a couple that had been saved and they had gotten into a local church and they had gotten involved in all of the activities and they kind of got into a routine of doing all those things. And then one day the church began to announce that they were going to take up a special offering for some kind of project that they were doing. And the wife, when they got home that day, she began to grumble to her husband about the offering. And she said, they're always wanting something special from us. I don't think we ought to give them this offering. We've already given up a lot to be in this church. And the husband looked at her kind of strangely. And he says, yes, sugar, we have really given up a lot. We've given up those old drunken parties we used to go to. We've given up those fights that you and I used to have before we came to Christ. We've given up the sin and the shame and the guilt. Yes, we've given up a whole lot to be in this church. Well, she got the point. She got the point. God had done a marvelous work in their lives. Why would you want to turn back? Why would you not want to be faithful in living for him? Well, look at verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. A heavenly country. Though God had promised to the people of Abraham the land of Canaan, it was just a picture to them of a wonderful heavenly Canaan out there in the future. Because they knew that this world was not ultimately their home. They were looking for that heavenly home, as we all are. So they desired a heavenly land. And because they lived by faith, because they had the testimony on earth that they didn't belong here, it says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. That, I think, is a remarkable statement. He's not ashamed to call us his people. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you reckon in heaven today, God is saying, I'm not ashamed to be the God of the folks in First Baptist Church of Spring Hill? I'm not ashamed to be called their God. I'm not ashamed to be called the God of you and me and everyone else that's a part of this fellowship. Listen, how important it is for us to be consistent in our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our God and we need to be serving him. We need to be living for him every day. I don't want him to be ashamed to call me a child of his. And I don't think you want to be ashamed for him to call, be ashamed to call you a child of his. We need to have that testimony. But then the third thing I want to talk to you today as we close, as we get ready to close out here in about an hour or two, I want to talk to you about Abraham's trial, because that's the focal point that I want to really focus on this morning, because here he is living for the Lord. He had this great testimony. Everything is just going great. Isaac is starting to grow up right in front of his eyes. And, you know, there's nothing more joyous than that. And I can almost see Abraham as he looked at with such pleasure and with such joy at the apple of his eye. There is Isaac growing up in front of him. And he's just beaming with pride. And then God came to Abraham one day. And he said in verse 17 said, by faith, Abraham was tempted. God came and told Abraham there was an offering that he wanted him to make. And we know that that offering was Isaac. Well, James 1:13 says, God tempts no one. God doesn't tempt us, but God does allow us to be tested. And that will help you understand that when God doesn't tempt us, he tests us. That the devil, when he comes, he does tempt us, and he tempts us to bring out the worst in us. When God tests us, he does that to bring out the best in us. Can you imagine what Abraham thought, though? Think about it. In Genesis 22, verse 2, God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Abraham, I want you to take Isaac. I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer your son up, the son that you love. I want you to offer him up as a burnt offering. And put yourself in his place. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I mean, here's a man who had left the land of Ur. He was living by faith. He was a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. Isaac was a fulfillment of the promise. And then God says, take him, put him on an altar, and, you know, sacrifice him. I have a feeling that Abraham's world absolutely collapses. I think he just kind of goes, oh my goodness. And you see, it was complicated not only because of his great love for his son, but the mysterious contradiction between the promise of God and this command of God. And sometimes we know that we go through trials in our life that seem to be contradictory. On the one hand, we have the love of God in our lives, and yet we have the providence of God in our lives, and sometimes they don't always seem to match. Sometimes they just don't seem to mesh together. Well, the scripture says that when the sun came up early the next morning, he gets Isaac and he heads to Mount Moriah. And I can almost see him as he puts the wood on the back of his son Isaac, and they start climbing up that mountain, and he says to the servants in Genesis 22:5, he says to them, you stay here, we're going to go worship, and we will come back to you. Now listen, did you see his faith there in that verse? Did you hear his faith? He's still holding on to the promises of God, even in this time of great trial. Y'all stay here. We're going to go up and worship. And then he says, we will come back to you. He didn't say, I will come back to you. He says, we will come back to you. They're heading up that mountain. And the inevitable question comes from Isaac, and he asks, Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham, in a great statement of faith, says, Son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. What a statement of faith from Abraham. Then Abraham takes Isaac, he puts him on that altar, and I can almost see him with tears running down his face as he embraces that boy for what he thinks maybe would be the last time on this earth. And he raises that blade. Oh, I wonder this morning, are we willing to say, God, though I don't understand all that you're doing in this trial that I'm going through, I just want you to know that I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm putting my faith in you. Though you slay me, I will still trust you. Though I die, I will still have my trust in you. Folks, that's what faith is all about. It's trusting God, even though you don't understand everything that's going on in your life. Now, what Abraham didn't know was this. Not only was there this mysterious offering, but there was also a miraculous outcome. Because Abraham and his son were coming up one side of the mountain. On the other side of the mountain, there was a ram coming up on the other side. And as Abraham raised his knife to plunge into the very heart of his son, God said, "Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here I am, Lord." God said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him." And then Abraham looked, and there was a ram caught in that thicket by his horns. His horns were caught into the thicket. I can imagine all the thorns and stuff in that thicket, and the ram's horns were caught in that, in all those weeds there. And he put the lamb on the altar, and the fire was lit, and the smoke ascended, and I can almost see Abraham on his knees saying, "Oh God, I didn't know how you were going to do it, but I knew you were going to work out a way. I knew you were going to work out a way." Verse 19 says that Abraham concluded that God was able. Do you see a little bit of a picture here in this text of what about what God has done for us? You see, Abraham had his one son that he loved, and he was about to sacrifice him on the altar. And he says to his son, God is going to provide himself a lamb. Do you know what? God did provide himself a lamb, didn't he? Not only a ram for Abraham to use, but he provided his own son, the Lord Jesus, to be the sacrifice for our sin. Except God, in that time when Jesus was nailed to the cross, dying for me and you, God didn't say, wait a minute. God allowed it to happen. Jesus went willingly to be a sacrifice for us, to die there for your sin and my sin. Oh, listen, that ram was a substitute for Isaac. Jesus was a substitute for your sin and my sin. He died there absolutely sinless, but he died there to be the great offering that we could have eternal life and have salvation. Oh, listen, Abraham concluded that God was able. What a statement. God is able. Can you say that? God is able. I don't know what problem you have right now. I don't know what trial you may be going through this morning. I don't know what it may have something to do with all the life that we're living in this pandemic world. But I'm here to announce to you this morning that whatever you're going through, God is able. Let me read you a few verses about the ability of God. God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is able to aid those who are tempted. God is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him. God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. God is able to keep you from falling. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or all that we think. Engrave it in gold. Wrap it around the door of your heart. God is able. Folks, he's able. He's able to help you in your time of grief and sorrow or trial that you're going through right now. He is able to help you. God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You know what he's saying there? God's solution to the trial that Abraham faced was resurrection. In John 8:56, Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." See, the solution is to the trials and the problems that we're facing. The solution today is Jesus. What you need to do today is put your faith in the thorn-crowned Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And what you need to do today is put your faith in Jesus. You need to do what Abraham did, step out of this world and by faith step into a new life of living daily for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done that this morning, I want to encourage you to step out by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe He died for your sins. Believe He was buried and on the third day He came forth victoriously alive. He ascended back up to heaven, and one day He's coming back to get us. If you believe that by faith in your heart, understand that and believe that and confess that. Repent of your sin and ask Jesus into your life will never be the same. Will you have trials? Yes. Will you have difficulties? Yes. But you'll have someone walking with you through every one of those. And it's the Lord Jesus through the power of His Holy Spirit. I pray today, if you've never done that, that you'll call out to Him. Cry out to Him. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins to Him. And let Him save you. Let Him forgive you and give you eternal life. This world here, folks, is not a permanent dwelling place. We're all passing through. But there's two destinations at the end. One of them is heaven, and the other one's a place called hell. And if you don't trust Jesus, your eternal home is going to be a place called hell, and you don't want to be there. But if by faith you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have an eternal home in heaven where you'll see Jesus face to face. And I hope that you'll do that. Cry out to Him and pray a prayer of faith and ask Him to come into your life and save you. Christian, if you're going through trials today, listen, God is able to help you. You just have to believe. You just have to receive the promises that He has for you. And you have to grab a hold of Him by faith and just know that He's going to carry you through. I hope that you'll be encouraged by Abraham's life, because he is great testimony of what faith can do in your life. And even though he may not have saw the land here, he understood that there was a land in heaven waiting for him. And folks, listen, his people have the land today. They still don't have all the land that was promised, but one day they're going to have every bit of it when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom on this earth. See, God is not going to fail in his promise. He's going to fulfill it, and he will do that for you in your life as well. Let me pray with you, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you today. Thank you for the life of Abraham, Lord, and thank you for a life of faith that is a great example to us. And Lord, I pray that we are living by faith, trusting you day by day, because Lord, you are worthy of our trust. You are faithful. And Lord, I ask that we be found faithful serving you. Lord, I pray today for those who are hurting. God, touch them. Put your healing hand upon those who are sick. Provide for those who need provision. Lord, for those who may be out of work because of all that's going on, the pandemic, I pray that you would just give them opportunity, open doors of opportunity for them. Lord, just be with all of us, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless those who are in need today. And God, that you'd put your mighty arms of love around them. And I ask that in Jesus' name. God bless you. I hope that you have a great day. And I will be here again next week. We are going to continue to do these video sermons on having them online. Even though we're going to be having a drive-in service on Sunday, we're still going to be doing these so that if you're not able to come to the drive-in, you'll still be able to hear the same message and hopefully be encouraged, because God still is on the throne and He wants to work in your life. And I hope that you'll claim that by faith. I love you. I'll be seeing you later. Good morning.